Welcome to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our new listeners to the show and let you know what you're in for. Common Sense Preparedness was designed to give the American public the much-needed information on how to manage and respond to any type of disaster we might face, natural, man-made, or personal. We will not tell you who to vote for or when the world is going to end, but we will get you ready to face that if it does happen. We will talk about first aid, CPR, tornadoes, earthquakes, how to prepare a family emergency plan, how to develop an emergency communication plan, how to hunt, how to fish, how to make a fire. This show will be hosted by myself, Tim Howard, and various guests from around the world who will share their information and their experiences with us. My credentials? They're pretty extensive, with over 25 years field experience as a chemical biological warfare instructor, a firefighter, an area safety manager, a safety inspector. I have been associated with various federal, state, and local governments. Currently, I'm associated with the FEMA think tank, OSHA field councils, and I am your host for the show. Before we go any further, any information that you hear on this program or find on hesafety.org or the radio website at csp.hesafety.org is to be taken as informational only. We are not legal or medical advisors. We are here to get you to think about things and get you to do your own research. Talk with your professional legal and medical advisors. Because in the end, it's all common sense anyway, which you have. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to the show. Common Sense Preparedness website, csp.hesafety.org, has been designed to give you more information about subjects than we can give you in a single broadcast. The website is free, so come on by and begin your research with Common Sense Preparedness. You can also listen or download previous shows via the website. I do ask you to sign up, though. Reason being, it's just so I can judge how well the show is doing. Also, please, show some love to our sponsors. They're the ones that keep the show and the websites free of charge. At the end of the day, it all comes down to this: how many lives we save. It is sad to hear of any life being lost when it was avoidable. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune into Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness with your host, my grandpa, Tim Howard.
Common Sense Preparedness Weekly Situation Report for the week of April 1st, 2012. Our environmental report, our U.S. Radiation Monitor Network looks good. We had a nuclear alert issued on March 28th because of the water levels were lower than previously reported in the nuclear power plant in Japan. We have higher than normal background radiation levels in Philadelphia. Our river report is showing minor flooding in the Texas-Louisiana border area. We have some flash flooding reported in Texas. Our air quality is looking good. In our drought report, we're experiencing exceptional droughts in Texas, Georgia, and Arizona, and some extreme droughts in Florida and South Carolina. Now, our food safety report. We're having some recalls for salmonella concerns over loose jalapeno peppers and fresh jalapeno peppers. For some reason, the jalapeno peppers are being reported all over the nation with salmonella concerns. Blue Ocean Steakhouse has an FDA injunction being placed on it for multiple violations. And our pink slime report. This is an interesting one. Earlier in March, it was reported that pink slime was being put into ground beef. Immediately, most major retailers started to refuse to sell the product. Due to this internet pressure, the company is shutting down 75% of its manufacturing process of this product, all within 30 days. Club Chef is having a recall for salmonella concerns in the Midwest. We have a hepatitis A alert in Alabama. It seems that McDonald's in Northport, Alabama, had an employee with hepatitis A, so all those patrons of that McDonald's have to get a hepatitis A check. Private Selection, which is a Kroger brand, is having a salmonella recall in the Midwest, and Sysco Prime Rib Beef Patties is having an E. coli recall in Arizona, Colorado, Texas, and Washington. Food safety is up to you. Remember, cook your food to over 140 degrees, and if you put your food in the refrigerator, keep it under 40 degrees. When you're dining out, check the restaurant's last inspections, and you can find that information on csp.hesafety.org. Now, our medical report, the whooping cough outbreak, pertussis, is now nationwide and spreading. A new report coming in on drug-resistant influenza in Delaware. Problem here is this influenza, if it's resistant to all types of drugs, can become a pandemic in the United States. We have an unknown illness in Oklahoma. It's affecting only one school. The problem here, they do not know what caused it. Our influenza report in the U.S. still remains low. The influenza rate is currently at 2.4, which is the same as last week. The baseline for influenza this time of year is 2.4, so we're right on target. Six states are reporting high levels of flu activity. Common Sense Preparedness would like to remind you that the best way to prevent the flu is to wash your hands as often as possible. Check out our webpage for more flu prevention and treatment tips. Our seismic report. There has been 7,324 recordable seismic events in the past 30 days. New England region is quiet. The Mid-Atlantic region, Virginia, had a 3.0. Caribbean, Puerto Rico had a 3.6. The Midwest region was quiet, and so was the Yellowstone region. The Rocky Mountain region, Utah, had a 3.4. The Northwest region, Oregon, had a 4.4. And the Ring Fire area, California had a 3.6, Alaska had a 5.3, and Hawaii had a 4.9. Now our volcanic report for this week, we had a minor eruption in Ecuador and Indonesia, and we're showing some increased activity in Mexico. Now the solar report, X-ray levels are at a B7, which is down from a C6, the K index is at a 4, the X-class flare is at 35%, and there's a 15% chance of geomagnetic storms. Sunspot AR-1429 is returning after a two-week travel along the far side of the sun. AR-1429 is the sunspot that has been causing all of us problems earlier in March. However, it has decreased in size tremendously. It's still producing numerous C-class flares, but it should not cause the same problems as it did once did. Now our NEOs in the area, we have 1,287. Today, April 1st, NEO 2012 EG5 should come within 0.6 lunar distance of Earth with a size of 62 meters. That's very close. April 4th, we have NEO 2012 FA57, which should come in within 1.1 lunar distance of Earth with a size of 28 meters. April 19th, we're still looking at NEO 2007 HV4 to come within 4.8 lunar distance, weighing in at 8 meters. And May 19th, we have NEO 2010 KK37 should come within 2.3 lunar distance of Earth with a size of 31 meters. You'll notice on these near-Earth objects, the new ones that we find are labeled with this year. So as you can see, they are popping up left and right. We're finding new ones every day. You can monitor our website at csp.hesafety.org for more information on any of the subject matters that you have heard about in this report.
You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness American Readiness Program right here on bbsradio.com.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support
health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America is known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
I got a chance the other day to take a look at the 7-day, 2-person emergency kit from Health Operations Team. This kit is a great basic starter kit. While it does not contain all the emergency supplies that you'll need during a prolonged disaster, it has enough supplies to ensure that you will survive any 7-day disaster. That's why it's called a basic starter kit. The first thing I noticed was the versatility of the bag. It can be used as a backpack, carried by the handle, by the shoulder strap. It even has wheels on it, so if you need to roll it, you can. The food package and water supplies make the kit kind of heavy, but these are basic requirements, and there's no way of getting around this weight. That's one of the reasons physical conditioning is a requirement in any kind of preparedness plan. Now, everything in the kit is stored in plastic Ziploc bags for weatherproofing protection. First idea I got in my head was, it showed me that I can use it, this weatherproofing idea, for other items. I mean, even a radio came in a plastic bag. The kit comes with a standard first aid kit, hygiene products, rain ponchos, light sticks, rope, and even a pry bar, just to name a few items in the bag. So it has a lot of equipment in there that you do need, some basic equipment. You're going to want to modify it to your family's needs. If your family needs medication, you may want to put the family medication in there, extra eyeglasses and such. Health Operations Team has a complete listing of all the items contained in the kit on their website at hoteam.org. Now, the price on the kit is unbeatable, $130, while all other outlets charge a minimum of $199, $200 for similar kits. Health Operations Team is offering these kits at cost with zero profit margin. What a deal. But what I want to remind you is Health Operations is a non-profit organization. If you can show them any kind of love, please do so. Even if it's a dollar, they need the help. They need the money. So they can go ahead and give these kits to people who are in need, who really need them. Now, some of the items in the kit that I would recommend to change, one would be the radio and the flashlight. Both of them are items that use batteries to operate with. I would exchange them for solar hand-cranked items. I mean, there's no reason to carry the extra weight of the batteries. There's nowhere to recharge them or anything like that. They're good for the home cache, but if you have to use it as a bug-out bag, I'd have solar equipment with me. Now, the coloring book and crayons, that's another thing I'd probably be changing. Now, if you have a kid that's less than 5, it's a great distraction for them. For the older kids, this is where we want to customize the bag for ourselves. We have older kids, we want to put some other stuff in there. However, it does have a deck of cards for adult distractions. Both the food packs and the water packs are edible, trust me. Now granted, I'm a very picky eater. It's not my preferred food of choice, but in an emergency, well, I know I can eat them and get my calories that I need. They are edible. Overall, I was pleased with the starter kit. The price was great, and they'll get you through any type of emergency. So I'm recommending that if you need a kit, contact HOTEAM.org, and they will be able to get you one. Now, they have a special price program available for disadvantaged and the elderly. So when you talk to them, let them know what you're doing and who you are, and that you heard it on the radio show, and see if you qualify for a discounted program. But even if you don't qualify, it's still a bargain at $130. So contact Health Operations Team at www.hoteam.org. Or you can call their Georgia phone number at 678-431-8914. Once again, that number is 678-431-8914.
You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Repair, American Readiness Program, right here on BBSRadio.com.
Let's talk a little bit about the psychology of disasters. You know, disasters happen all the time. Almost every day, somewhere in the world, a disaster takes place. We always talk about how to prepare for the upcoming Black Swan event, what equipment we need, how to use that equipment, how to build shelters, find food, you know, and so on. No one ever talks about one of the most important aspects of preparedness, and that is the psychology of disasters. It takes more than knowledge and skill to build shelters, get food, make fire, and travel without the aid of standard navigational devices to live successfully through a black swan event. Some people with little and no survival training have managed to survive life-threatening circumstances, while some with survival training have not used their skills and died. A key ingredient in any emergency situation is the mental attitude of the individual involved. Having survival skills is important. Having the will to survive is essential. Without a desire to survive, acquired skills serve little purpose and invaluable knowledge goes to waste. The individual in an emergency faces many stresses that ultimately impact his mind. These stresses can produce thoughts and emotions that, if poorly understood, can transform a confident, well-trained individual into an indecisive, ineffective individual with questionable abilities to survive the incident. Thus, every individual must be aware of and be able to recognize those stresses commonly associated with a black swan event. Additionally, it is important that individuals be aware of their reactions to a wide variety of stresses associated with an emergency situation. Disaster psychology consists of many different aspects, and all of them must be understood in order for the individual or group to survive a black swan event. Sources of knowledge, intelligence, leadership, attitude, fear, natural reaction, coping with stress, and decision-making are all part of disaster psychology. Now, some psychological aspects of disasters. Survival depends more on personality than the danger itself. Your will to live will help you overcome almost all situations. If your paranoia gets the best of you, then you will make rash and inaccurate decisions that will lead to failure to survive. It is always one's personality which makes him resist or fail to fatigue. The person's personality also permits him to take necessary measures for survival. It even makes him move his feet. Now, preparing yourself and your family in a survival situation, your purpose is to stay alive. You are going to experience an assortment of thoughts and emotions. These can work for you, or they can work against you. Fear, anxious, anger, frustration, guilt, depression, and loneliness are all possible reactions to many stresses common to survival. These reactions, when controlled in a healthy way, help to increase a person's likelihood of surviving. They prompt a person to fight back when scared, or to take action to ensure
sustenance and security, to keep faith with his fellow survivors, and to strive against large odds. When a survivor cannot control these reactions in a healthy way, they can bring him to a standstill. Instead of relying on his internal resources, the person listens to his internal fears. This person has experienced psychological defeat long before he has physically succumbed to the circumstances. Remember, survival is natural to everyone. Being unexpectedly thrust into a life and death struggle of survival is not. Don't be afraid of your natural reaction to an unnatural situation. Prepare yourself to rule over these reactions so they will serve your ultimate interest, staying alive. It involves preparedness to ensure that your reaction in a survival setting is productive, not destructive. The challenge of survival has produced countless examples of heroism, courage, and self-sacrifice. These are the qualities it can bring out in you if you have prepared yourself. Let's explore a few tips to help you prepare yourself psychologically for survival, so you can develop your survival attitude. Know yourself. You must size up your abilities. Now let's be honest here about your abilities. Being dishonest here will improve your ego, but it will come back to haunt you and cost your family their lives. You do not need to broadcast your shortcomings, but you need to identify them and work on turning them into strengths. Strengthen your stronger abilities and qualities and develop the areas that you know are necessary to survive. Anticipate fears. Don't pretend you'll have no fears. Begin thinking about what would frighten you the most if forced to survive alone. Train in those areas of concern. The goal is not to eliminate your fear, but to build confidence in your abilities to function despite your fears. Be realistic. Don't be afraid to make an honest appraisal of situations. See circumstances as they are, not as you want them to be. Keep your hopes and expectations within the estimate of the situation. When you go into a survival setting with unrealistic expectations, you may be laying the groundwork for bitter disappointment. Follow the adage, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. It is much easier to adjust to pleasant surprises about one's unexpected good fortunes than it is to be upset by one's unexpected harsh circumstances. Adapt a positive attitude. Learn to see the potential good in everything. Looking for the good not only boosts morale, it is also an excellent for exercising your imagination and creativity. Remind yourself what is at stake. Remember, failure to prepare yourself psychologically to cope with survival leads to reactions such as depression, carelessness, inattention, loss of confidence, poor decision-making, and giving up before the body gives in. At stake is your life and the lives of others who are dependent on you to do your share. Training. Through training and life experiences, begin today to prepare yourself and your family to cope with the rigors of survival. Demonstrating your skills and training will give you the confidence to call upon them should the need arise. Remember, the more realistic the training is, the less overwhelming an activity in survival will be. One thing I can guarantee you is that when people panic, like in an emergency situation, they do not think, they react. People only react to what they're trained to do. So if all you ever see is the movies where people panic, then it's all you will do in a situation is panic. If you are trained in what to do in an emergency, then you will do what you are trained to do. Do not forget the children when you begin training. The more familiar they are with what could happen, the more likely they will not panic in an emergency situation. I had the opportunity the other day to go to a preschool up in Globe, Arizona. Globe Preschool. And they had a camping night out where they taught the children what animals were out there, what to do in case these animals, what to do around a campfire. It was an excellent, excellent training opportunity for the children in preschool. So the younger you get to them and teach them this stuff, excellent source. Kudos go out to Globe Head Start.
You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program, right here on BBSRadio.com. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons from PatriotMusic.com. I'm proud to announce the release of a new CD of original rock that celebrates individual liberty and the principles that made our republic great. Come give a listen to the award-winning music. There are free videos, radio, TV, and podcast interviews, and an album cover I promise you'll be thinking about for years. And don't forget to check out the Take Action section where you can share your ideas on how to put America back on track. PatriotMusic.com.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Here's the newest song from Matt Fitzgibbon to PatriotMusic.com.
Out in the woods, west of Pittsburgh is home. Since my granddaddy's days, it left us alone. We lived on the river where we made panther's breath till the marshal brought death. We had fought for your freedom from here to the east. We cleaned out the Tories till the land was at peace. And we picked off the redcoats with our frontiersmen aim. Then the taxman came. The Federalists said that they'd pay for the war. Tax on corn whiskey distilled from us poor. That we needed some master to keep us in awe. So they declared martial law. We farmers decided we'd stick together. So we covered some tax men with tar and with feathers. General Washington headed the army again with 13,000 men. While the gallows are built, and it seems that my country is feeling some guilt. They say we've been pardoned, now their point has been made. But you should be afraid. Whiskey, whiskey,
Now, in any emergency situation, there will be stresses involved. So you need to learn stress management techniques. People under stress have a potential to panic. That's if they're not trained very well and not prepared psychologically to face whatever circumstances may be.
While we cannot often control the survival circumstances in which we find ourselves, it is within our ability to control our responses to the circumstances. Learning stress management techniques can enhance significantly your capability to remain calm and focus on the work at hand and keep yourself and others alive. A few good techniques to develop include relaxation skills, time management skills, assertiveness skills, and cognitive restructuring skills. That's the ability to control how you view the situation. Remember, the will to survive can also be considered to be the refusal to give up. You're also going to want to develop leadership skills, because whether you like it or not, you will be forced to be the leader. During an emergency, it is human nature to look for someone who is confident, knowledgeable, and calm, and people will follow them no matter what. So if you show any of these qualities of a leader, you will be followed. Now, this responsibility is a critical one. All those who follow you will be placing their lives in your hands, and you must respect that. Attitude. Multiple outside factors affect your attitude. How well you control these factors will determine your attitude. These factors include fear, stress, knowledge, moral well-being, and etc. This is the natural reaction a person will experience. Hope that you will survive. Hope that you will succeed. Without hope, all is lost. Even when whatever you are doing looks doomed, hope will find the strength you will need to overcome any adversity. Self-confidence is a product of good training and sound knowledge. Pain can be controlled and overcome. Its biological function is to protect the injured part to prevent you from using it. But this warning may have to be ignored to avoid the risk of further injury or death. Injured people with multiple fractures who would certainly have died if they had just laid there where they were, hoping for help, have been known to crawl long distances, 12 miles in one case, from isolated regions to reach assistance. Concentration and intense effort can actually stop and reduce the feeling of pain for a time, though it's important to treat any injury as soon as possible. Remember that ignoring even a small sore or blister could lead to serious problems later, especially in the tropics. The point being here is that you can use your mind to overcome even pain and control your circumstances. You can use your mind to overcome your natural reaction. And that is something you must train yourself to do. Now, what is natural reaction? Man has the ability to survive many shifts in his environment throughout the centuries. His ability to adapt physically and mentally to a changing world has kept him alive. The same survival mechanism can keep us alive as well. However, these survival mechanisms that can help us can also work against us if we don't understand and anticipate their presence. It is not surprising that the average person will have some psychological reaction in an emergency situation. We will now examine some of the major internal reactions that you might and anyone with you might experience. One of them would be fear. Fear is an emotional response to dangerous circumstances that we believe have a potential to cause death, injury, or illness. This harm is not just limited to physical damage. The threat to one's emotional and mental well-being can generate fear as well. For a person trying to survive, fear can have a positive function if it encourages him to be cautious in a situation where recklessness could result in injury. Unfortunately, fear can also immobilize a person. It can cause him to become so frightened that he fails to perform activities essential for survival. Most people will have some degree of fear when placed in unfamiliar surroundings under adverse conditions. There is no shame in this. Each person must train himself not to be overloaded or overcome by this fear. Ideally, through realistic training, we can acquire the knowledge and skill necessary to increase our confidence and thereby managing our fears. You can go to csp.hesafety.org for more information on fear. Associated with fear is anxiety. Because it's natural for us to be afraid, it's also natural natural for us to experience anxiety. Anxiety can be an uneasy, apprehensive feeling we get when faced with dangerous situations, physical, mental, or emotional. When used in a healthy way, anxiety urges us to act, to end, or at least master the dangers that threaten our existence. If we are never anxious, there would be little motivation to make changes to our lives. A person in a survival or emergency condition or setting reduces his anxiety by performing those tasks that will ensure his coming through the ordeal alive. As he reduces his anxiety, the person is also bringing under control the source of his anxiety, his fears. In this form, anxiety is good. However, anxiety can also have a devastating impact. Anxiety can overwhelm a person to the point where he becomes easily confused and has difficulty thinking. Once this happens, it becomes more and more difficult for him to make good judgments and sound decisions. To survive, a person must learn techniques to calm his anxieties and keep them in the range where they help him, not hurt them. Anger and frustration. Now, frustration arises when a person is continually thwarted in his attempts to reach a goal. The goal of survival is to stay alive until you can reach help or until help can reach you. To achieve this goal, a person must complete some tasks with minimum resources. It is inevitable in trying to do these tasks that something will go wrong, Murphy's Law, that something will happen beyond a person's control, and that one's life is at stake. Every mistake is magnified in terms of its importance. Thus, sooner or later, people who will have to cope with frustration when a few of their plans run into trouble. One outcome of this frustration is anger. There are many events in a survival situation that can cause frustration or anger a person. Getting lost, damaged, or forgetting equipment, the weather, extremely rough terrain, enemy patrols, or physical limitations are just a few sources of frustration and anger. Frustration and anger encourages impulse reaction, irrational behavior, poorly thought out decisions, and in some instances, an I quit attitude. People sometimes avoid doing some things they can't master. If a person can harness and properly channel the emotional intensity associated with anger and frustration, he can productively act as he answers the challenge of survival. If the person does not properly focus his anger feelings, he can waste much energy in activities that do little to further either his chances of survival or his chances for those around him. Another natural reaction is depression. It would be a rare person indeed who would not get sad, at least momentarily, when faced with these problems of emergency circumstances. As this sadness deepens, we label the feeling depression. Depression is closely linked with frustration and anger. The frustrated person becomes more and more angry as he fails to reach his goals. If the anger does not help the person to succeed, then the frustration level goes even higher. A destructive cycle between anger and frustration continues until the person becomes worn down physically, emotionally, and mentally. When a person reaches this point, he starts to give up, and his focus shifts from what can I do to there's nothing I can do. Depression has an expression of this hopelessness, helpless feeling. There is nothing wrong with being sad as you temporarily think about your loved ones and remember what life is like back in civilized world. Such thoughts, in fact, can give you the desire to try harder to live one more day. On the other hand, if you allow yourself to sink into a depressed state, then it can snap all your energy and, more important, your will to survive. It is imperative that each person resists succumbing to depression. You must keep a hopeful attitude. That's where attitude becomes very important. Now, one more reaction, another natural reaction, is loneliness and boredom. You know, man is a social animal. This means we, as human beings, enjoy the company of others. Very few people want to be alone all the time. As you are aware, there is a distinct chance of isolation in an emergency situation. This is not bad. Loneliness and boredom can bring to the surface qualities you thought only others had. The extent of your imagination and creativity may surprise you. When required to do so, you may discover some hidden talents and abilities. Most of all, you may tap into the reservoir of inner strength and fortitude that you never thought you had. Conversely, loneliness and boredom can be another source of depression. As a person surviving alone or with others, you must find ways to keep your mind productively occupied. Additionally, you must develop a degree of self-sufficiency. You must have faith in your capabilities to go it alone.
You're listening to AT Safety's Common Sense Society, American Radio Program, right here on bbsradio.com.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, healthcare and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
The other day I was able to evaluate the Rush Moab 10 pack from 511 Tactical. And I must admit, I was very impressed with it. The first thing I noticed was how versatile the pack was. Now me, being a right-handed individual, could use it comfortably, and my wife, who is left-handed, can also use it comfortably with just making a few adjustments. This is because of the ambidextrous shoulder strap system that is built into the pack. This is a big plus because no matter who uses it, it will be comfortable for them. Just in case you have a long hike in front of you and during any type of bug-out situation, you can expect a couple-mile walk. The bag contains more than enough interior pouches to handle any of the equipment I had. And trust me, I loaded it up with my equipment and it was able to store everything I needed, plus some. I especially like the idea of the keychain fobs. This is an excellent way to store zip drives or an extra set of car keys that would be required during a home evacuation. I even found a pocket that 511 Tactical explains to be a comm pocket for radios with a pass-through for the microphone and the earbud. But I found it to be very useful to hold my cell phone and my MP3 player. I was able to hike while enjoying my music playing in my ears. Now, I don't recommend that you listen to the MP3 player during any emergency. But during your downtime, it'd be a great way to be able to listen to some music and still be within an arm's reach of your equipment. A new item I noticed was that the Moab 10 had a pocket for a water pack with slots built into the bag for the water spout. Now this idea gives it a lot of extra points in my book. This eliminates the need for canteens on the belt or attached to the backpack and places the weight of the water squarely on your back and shoulders where it can be evenly distributed. As we all know, anything that equals out the weight is invaluable. In order to check the Moab 10's durability during a field test, I gave the bag to the person in my group who was the roughest on all equipment that we had, Ezra, my 5-year-old grandson. He dragged it, threw it around, and even used it as a seat. The good news here is that it survived. All I had to do was clean it up and remove all the pine cones and spent cartridges that we found everywhere on the ground out of the bag, and it was ready to be put back in service. If a 5-year-old can spend over an hour with the bag and it's not able to damage it, I believe it'd stand up to any type of disaster and still be usable. The only complaint I did find with the bag is the size of the web system on the outside of the bag. Now, the system is standard about 2 inches for each of the slots, with only one or two of the hooks being a little bit larger. Now, this size will accommodate most standard straps and equipment latches. I have a lot of pouches that are wider than the 2 inches, and that's because of my old correctional days. So, besides that, the web system was great. However, my military pouches and bags fit on the web system nicely. Overall, the versatility of the bag was one of the most impressive items I've seen in a while. Not only can you use the bag for a day trip with the family and be able to store all the necessary equipment you would need, but the bag can be used for a go bag and still have all the equipment in it that you'll need to survive a 3-day trek. Plus, another item of this bag versatility was that it can be opened and used while still slung over your shoulder to swing it in front of you. This way you can still retrieve your food items from the bag while still over your shoulder and you keep on trekking without skipping a beat. Once all the testing was complete, I placed the Moab 10 bag into service as my family's go bag for the car. It contains all my emergency maps, zip and external hard drives, extra set of car keys, emergency radio, 5 solar blankets, emergency rations for 3 people. The water pack is full with extra water, N95 masks, pens, writing tablets, and a few bags of jerky and candy for myself. The outside of the bag has attached to it a med kit, buck knife, flashlight, and a fire starter kit. The Moab 10, which stands for Mobile Operation Attachment Bag, is a great deal for $99.99 and can serve as a versatile emergency go bag and a family day pack. I know for myself, it'll see a lot of miles and it will be attached to my backpack the next emergency I have to respond to. For more information on this review and a link to purchase the item, visit us at csp.hesafety.org.
You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com.
Guilt. The circumstances leading to you being in an emergency situation are sometimes dramatic and tragic. It may be the result of an accident or natural disaster where there was loss of life. Perhaps you were the only or one of the few survivors. While naturally relieved to be alive, you simultaneously may be mourning the death of others who are less fortunate. It's not uncommon for survivors to feel guilty about being spared from death while others were not. This feeling, when used in a positive way, has encouraged people to try harder to survive, with belief that they are allowed to live for some greater purpose in life. Sometimes survivors try to stay alive so that they could carry on the work of those killed. Whatever reason you give yourself, don't let guilt feelings prevent you from living. The living who abandon their chances to survive accomplish nothing. Such an act would be a great tragedy. Now, another natural reaction is stress. Before we can understand our physiological reaction to an emergency setting, it is helpful to first know a little bit about stress. Stress is not a disease that you can cure or eliminate. Instead, it's a condition we all experience. Stress can be described as our reaction to pressure. It is the name given to the experience we have as we physically, mentally, and emotionally, and spiritually respond to life's tensions. Stress is highly effective on killing your heart if you allow stress to run your life. However, stress can be controlled. For more information on stress, visit us at csp.hesafety.org. Now, before we go into stress control, I want to talk a little bit about combat stress. When a person experiences combat, the stresses involved and faced by the individual is classified as combat stress. Combat stress is a mental, emotional, or physical tension, strain, or distress resulting from exposure to combat and combat-related conditions. For more information on combat stress, please read Field Manual 6-22.5, which can be downloaded from our website. Now, stress control. Stress can be controlled. Breathing techniques and relaxation exercises are a great way to control stress. Attentive control of your respiration, and especially your timing, contributes to your stress control in any moments of tension, stress, or constraint. You know, most of us breathe only halfway. We breathe incorrectly since we don't have much choice, but where we make the mistake is we do not exhale properly, meaning that we do not do it deeply enough. Thus, we often sigh as a sign warning us that there's a need for a deep in and out breath. A sigh is a natural means used by our body to exhale completely once we have neglected to do so under stress. Just remember in your past, when there was a deep stress and the moment it was over, so one must learn to sigh methodically. Any blockage brought to your breathing system provokes deep pains, so any abnormalities will be beneficial to your body and mind. The more one exhales air, the more one is able to inhale. So increasing of our capacity is the goal of any respiratory discipline. To take a conscious hold of your exhale is the number one factor. We must strive for this to make it a habit. For more information on stress control, visit us at csp.hesafety.org. Decision making. A good advice is this one. Don't try to find the answer to everything at once. Go step by step and remember that life by the yard is hard, but by the inch is a cinch. Another decision making tool that I've used in the military is an old military battle cry. Kaihuya. It's actually an old ancient Indian phrase meaning walk in the sunlight of the spirit. And the acronym is very appropriate also, meaning keep your head out your butt. You spell it out as K-Y-H-O-O-Y-A. Keep your head out your, you know what I'm talking about. Now, one of the things about decision making, especially in a survival or a end of the world scenario, if you want to go there, and I hear everybody in the prepper community talk about this. Oh, we're going to set up battle lines. We're going to do this. You know what? When it comes down to it, here's your best decision making of all. The two most powerful assets you have are storage and concealment. You do not want an armed conflict if you can avoid one. If you want to understand survival fully, study the masters, the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom is without exception the best place to learn survival. Almost all animals, as their first line of defense, uses concealment and camouflage. They only fight when there's no other option. And that is something we all need to understand. In an emergency situation, camouflage and concealment is our best assets. Run away from a fight if you can. Only fight when you have to. Because when you fight in an emergency situation or a survival situation, somebody has to die. Now, another thing about psychology of disasters we cannot forget about is the children. How does the children cope with disasters? And as I was explaining earlier in the broadcast, I was recently had the privilege to go to a preschool, a Head Start program out in Globe, Arizona, where they had a camping night out for children, 4 and 5 year olds. And then they were teaching them about fire safety, campfires, bugs, scorpions, stuff like that. Fantastic idea. You know why? Because when the children are exposed to this, if a disaster really happens, they're not to be so afraid. Disaster can strike quickly and without warning. These events can be frightening for adults, but they are traumatic for children if they don't know what to do. So train your children. Kudos go out to the Globe Preschool. Head Start. During a disaster, your family may have to leave your home and daily routine. Children may become anxious, confused, or frightened. As an adult, you need to cope with the disaster in a way that will help children avoid developing a permanent sense of loss. It is important to give children guidance that will help them reduce their fears. Children depend on daily routines. They wake up, eat breakfast, go to school, play with friends. When emergencies or disasters interrupt this routine, children may become anxious. In a disaster, they look to you and other adults for help. How you react to an emergency gives them a clue how to act. If you react with alarm, a child may become more scared. They see our fear as proof that the danger is real. If you seem overcome with a sense of loss, a child may feel their losses more strongly. Children's fear also may stem from their imagination, and you should take these feelings seriously. A child who feels afraid is afraid. Your words and actions can provide reassurance. When talking to your child or any children, be sure to present a realistic picture that is both honest and manageable. Feeling or fear are healthy and natural for adults and children. But as an adult, you need to keep control of the situation. When you're sure danger has passed, concentrate on your child's emotional needs by asking the child what uppermost in his or her mind. Having children participate in the family recovery activities will help them feel that their life will return to normal soon. Your response during a time may have a lasting impact, so be aware that after a disaster, children are most afraid that the event will happen again. Someone will be injured or killed this time. They may even be afraid that they'll be separated from family and be left all alone. You must train them and must understand that they are shadows of us. That's actually what they call me, and my nickname is Shadow Maker. Why? My grandson follows me around like a shadow. And I know anything I'm feeling, he's going to feel. So you must control. You must be a leader in the way you take control of your emotional state during any kind of emergency or black swan event to improve their ideas and their emotional stability. Training is a great way for them to get used to it and get the idea across that it's not hopeless. So train your children just like the preschool did. Keep control of your emotions during a disaster. If you have to break down, make sure the children are not around to see you break down. More information on children coping with disasters, you can find it on our website at csp.hesafety.org.
Thank you for tuning in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program. We may be found at the web at csp.hesafety.org. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness.
Using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao, Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Teach the lessons to your daughters and sons. To fear the government that fears your guns. Now the new world order's crew, well, they're making their demands. You don't feel safe if you are armed. You say gun control is using both hands. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands.
is using both hands.